Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 24, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Corinth was a very large city in the ancient world, and there were lots of local churches there, and the Apostle Paul visited and taught to all of these different congregations. And as is true with any local church or any congregation, there were believers there who were positive, there were believers there who were negative. There were believers there who had arrogance. There were believers there who had humility. There were loser believers there. There were winner believers there. And we have saw in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was dealing with, for the most part, all of the loser believers in their carnality, reversionism, living in Satan's cosmic system. Now it's shifted a little bit in 2 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 1, he addresses the loser believers and says, do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need like certain people letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative may says, no, we don't, but unfortunately, your critical mental attitude toward us says we do. Then in verse 2, he shifts to the winner believers. You winner believers, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past, with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone. Then verse 3. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, that is, being fed the spiritual food of God's Word, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. And this is grace perspicacity. God in His fantastic grace has set up a system. The target, you have Bibles in your lap. The target of that those Bibles in your lap is to get the truth that's in the Bible into your heart. The target for the Word of God is to get the Word of God into your heart. And to get it into your heart, God has set up a grace system. Two different communicators. One is a man and one is God the Holy Spirit. They work together as a team. So the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher communicates the Word of God, the Logos, eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. And then you assemble, filled with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, under the filling of the Spirit, takes that Logos, communicated by the pastor, and teaches your human spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:13, and Logos becomes pneumatikos, spiritual phenomena. Goes right on down into the noose or the mind, and now you comprehend it. And you can say, Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you're saying. That's great that you comprehend, but nothing's happened yet. Now your volition has to go into operation. You're free to believe it or reject it. If you reject it, you have no spiritual growth, no spiritual momentum. You cannot apply it. There's no benefit to you in any way. However, if you go positive and believe the Word of God, now it goes into your cardia, the heart. That's the target, to get the Word of God into your heart. You believe it, you metabolize it in your heart. Now it becomes what the Bible calls wisdom. Sophia in the Greek, chokma in the Hebrew. And it, what is wisdom? It's the Word of God that you believed and is in your heart, and now by the filling of the Spirit, you can apply it to your life skillfully and accurately to anything going on in life. Anything going on in the world, anything going on in America, anything going on in Nevada, Las Vegas, anything going on in your marriage, in your family, at your job, anything. Now you can apply the absolute truth of God's Word skillfully and accurately. That's wisdom. Now you are wise. And that's what the objective is. For you to grow up, get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, and have wisdom. That's what he's describing here. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ, by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, that is, being fed the spiritual food of God's Word, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, absolutely not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human hearts. The heart is the target for the Word of God, Psalm 37:31. No one can grow spiritually apart from consistently and faithfully getting metabolized doctrine into your heart. The doctrine is actually understood in the mind, the nous, and then you believe it and it enters the cardia, the heart, where it actually is circulated and utilized. God always bases any function of justice on the knowledge of the situation. And therefore, God is constantly searching your heart. He's constantly searching your heart. Jeremiah 17:10. I, Jehovah, search the heart. What is he searching for? The Word of God. To see how much of the Word of God is in your heart. To see if you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So I, Jehovah, search the heart and test the emotions. What is he testing the emotions for? To see if they are subordinate to the truth of God's Word. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. O Lord of the armies, you who have tested the righteous, who sees the emotions and the heart. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in grace righteousness. That's spiritual maturity. That's with the royal family honor code. Spiritual honor. Sacred honor. Integrity. Virtue. Because I have trusted in the Lord and I do not slide into reversionism. Examine me, O Lord. Test my emotions and my heart. In Scripture, the heart is used for the place of thinking. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord's evaluation of you is what you think in here, in your heart. 1 Samuel 16, 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his outward appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. Samuel is selecting the next, who's going to be the next king. And he thought for sure that when he saw Eliab, David's older brother, in the military, he's in the military, he's tall, he's dark, he's handsome. And Samuel thought, this is going to be the next king. And the Lord says, wrong. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his outward appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, you are always looking on the outside. God's always looking on the inside, in the heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The Lord is constantly examining your heart to see how much of the Word of God is there. To see if virtue, love had been brought to completion in your heart. Having a joyful heart means you share the happiness of God and occupation with Jesus Christ. Proverbs 17, 22, Proverbs 15, verses 13 to 15. The loser believer is arrogant, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. So the loser believer is arrogant in his heart, while the winner believer has humility, Proverbs 18, verse 12. Arrogant thinking in the heart is the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Humility in the heart is the fact that you have teachability, authority orientation, which enables you to live the spiritual life and acquire wisdom in your heart. Proverbs 18:15. The thinking in the heart of a child is often foolishness, and therefore discipline is in order. Proverbs 22:15. What you really are is not what you appear to others on the outside. It is what you are thinking in your heart. Proverbs 27, verse 19. And then we started looking at negative functions of the heart, and there's a lot of those in the Scriptures. The heart can reject the absolute truth of the Word of God. Proverbs 5, 11 to 14. The heart negative to Bible doctrine refuses to concentrate. When you don't like what you hear, then you are unteachable and a candidate for reversionism and cosmic system function. The heart is the source of discord and troublemaking, which leads to strife and conspiracy. Proverbs 6, 12 to 19. The woman uses heart thinking to entice the male for personal gain without love. This is especially the heart of the prostitute. The heart of the prostitute is subtle. Proverbs 7, 10, Ecclesiastes 7, 26. She will be very flattering and conniving. And once she catches you by your arrogance will chain you to her. And one thing that will destroy wisdom and the ability to look at life from the divine viewpoint is the dumb, arrogant male succumbing to the flattery of a woman, using him for her own advancement or pleasure. The heart suffers disappointment from broken promises, Proverbs 13, 12. The heart is the environment for all categories of mental attitude sins. Hate, 2 Samuel 6, 16. Bitterness, Proverbs 14, 10. Arrogance, Proverbs 21, verse 4. Obadiah 3 and 4. Arrogance deceives you and causes you to make a fool of yourself. Worry, Ecclesiastes 2:23. Deceitfulness, Jeremiah 17:9. Revolution and insubordination are described as being a part of the thinking of the heart. 2 Samuel 15:1-6. Jeremiah 5:23. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart. For you can think one thing and say something the exact opposite. And that is a very amazing passage. Psalm 55, which is a psalm of David. David totally understood this. David dealt with this many, many times. Any faithful pastor has dealt with this many, many times. And if you've never come in contact with a believer like the one described here, well, you just haven't lived. They're out there all over. David certainly did. Psalm 55, verse 21. His speech is smooth. Smooth as butter. This is when he talks to you. Speech is smooth as butter. But war is in his heart. Now David is the human author of this, and he saw this in his own family. He saw this with all kinds of people from his cabinet when he was king. And any faithful pastor has seen believers that this is exactly how they operate. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil. Like a snake in oil, just slithering along. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is related to thinking in the heart. You think one thing, and you say the exact opposite. Superficial gaiety does not indicate the true state of the individual or the individual's heart. Proverbs 14:13. We could call this Operation Clown. The clown that has the face of smiling and happy, but inside he is sad. Reversionism is described in terms of the heart. Jeremiah 17:5-9. Psalm 119, verse 70. So the heart is related to any kind of failure in life. In other words, the real you is what you think. Your life is not necessarily what others see overtly, because it may reflect good or bad thoughts, right or wrong priorities. Psalm verse 10 reveals the human viewpoint thinking of the reversionist related to the heart. The thinking of the atheist is related to the heart. Psalm 14, 1-3. False teachers communicate false doctrine from the deceit of their heart. Jeremiah 14, 14. The heart is the place where people think they are superior to others. Luke 9, 46-48. Now that brings us to the positive functions of the heart. The positive functions of the heart. First of all, the heart is used for concentration on Bible doctrine. Concentration, meditation, thinking on the absolute truth of God's Word. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The heart is used for concentration or meditation on Bible doctrine. Now, you know, when you go to sleep at night, go to bed at night, your heart and your soul never stops, and you never stop thinking. And I will, many times, as I am sleeping, God the Holy Spirit is working, because I am here every day studying, and I have all these things that from my study, and God the Holy Spirit, I'm constantly praying for Him to direct me exactly what the Word is saying. I can't tell you how many times that I'm in bed and 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking about what I was studying. I go, that's it. That's it. Fantastic. And then I hear Debbie snoring and the dog snoring. Debbie snores much better than the dog does. But that's why we don't have 45 with the wives in here. Constantly thinking and meditating, concentrating on Word. I don't know what you think about when you go to bed and concentrate on. I am still working on passages in the Bible during the night. So here we have the heart is used for concentration, meditation on the Word of God. Luke chapter 2. Let's start at verse 8. Every day is Christmas, right? And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Not the way that everybody thinks of it. This is prosperity and blessing among those men with whom He, God, is well pleased. That's exactly what this says. Prosperity and blessing among those men with whom God is well pleased. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, concentrating on them, concentrating, pondering on this truth, concentrating on this doctrine in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Mary treasured up all these things and concentrated on them. Over and over, she kept concentrating on these truths from God. So the heart is used for concentration, meditation on Bible doctrine. Secondly, loving the Lord your God with all your heart is the greatest commandment. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart is the greatest commandment. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And this is a Bible class being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 22, the start of verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him. This is testing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, with this question. And he calls him teacher because he doesn't believe he's the Messiah. He doesn't believe that he is the Savior, the Redeemer. He just thinks he's a teacher, so he calls him teacher. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, what has Jesus Christ just taught? Virtue love. He's just taught virtue love. What's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life? For you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective. Jesus Christ teaching that right here. Virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. The first and the third part of virtue love is in when Jesus Christ says, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's personal love for God the Father. That's personal love for God the Son, Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the greatest. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The next commandment is impersonal love for all mankind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Impersonal love for all as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And you have been getting this communicated to you again and again and again. Tomorrow on Thursday night, we are in 1 John. And the end of chapter 3, second half of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. The greatest in-depth study of virtue love in all the Word of God by the Apostle John. So loving the Lord your God with all your heart is the greatest commandment. Matthew 22:34-30. The second is impersonal love for all mankind. Together, virtue love. Three. I'm just reaching puberty. It's at 103. That's really good. The dynamics of wisdom. The dynamics of wisdom are related to the heart. Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The dynamics of wisdom are related to the heart. Okay, start at verse 30. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. All right, now who's the righteous man? You see, a believer. Well, I know more believers who do not utter wisdom than believers who do. So it's not talking about believers, just believers. It's not talking about any believer. Most believers never utter wisdom. They don't have wisdom. They're losers. They're living in the cosmic system. So this is not plus R. This is not just being a believer, having justification by faith. This is a grace-righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer. Only the grace-righteous believer, only the spiritually mature believer utters wisdom. Because only the grace-righteous believer has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Wisdom! Only the grace-righteous believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Only the grace-righteous believer lives a spiritual life with sacred honor, virtue, integrity. So the mouth of the grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, with maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, he utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. That's why. And that can only be said of the winner believers. The law of his God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. Great, great passage. The dynamics of wisdom are related to the heart. So, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3 sounds like this. You keep on being shown that you... Winner believers are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, absolutely not on tablets of stone, Mosaic law, but on the tablets of human hearts. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And such trust have we, This is the post-positive conjunction dat plus the accusative singular of pepoithesis, modified by the adjective toyutas, plus the present active indicative of the verb echo. All right. Post-positive conjunction de. Now, sometimes de is a conjunction of contrast, but not here. The post-positive conjunction de can also be a transitional conjunction, as it is here. And when it is a transitional conjunction, it is translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. And then we have pepoithesis. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-E-P-O-I-T-H, long E-S-I-S. Pepoithesis. Pepoithesis means trust. It means confidence. Trust, confidence. And then we have toyutas. Looks like that in the Greek, T-O-I-O-U-T-O-S, toyutas. Toyutas means such a kind. Such a kind or such as this. Such a kind, such as this. In other words, such a kind of confidence. Such confidence. And then we have echo. E-C-H long O, echo. And echo is the verb to have and to hold, and therefore to possess. The present tense has linear action start. We keep on having and holding such confidence. We keep on having and holding such confidence. The active voice, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, God's faithful communicators perform the action of the verb, the indicative mood declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality, certainty, fact. So the corrected translation is, and we, faithful communicators, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, and we keep on having and holding such confidence through Christ toward God. We have two prepositional phrases here. Dia plus the genitive of Christos with the definite article. And we have pros plus the accusative of theos with the definite article. And you're all right on tune with this. Dia plus the genitive is by means of, by or, if it's a person, by the agency of, or through, by means of, by the agency of, through Christos, the anointed one. That's what Christos means, the anointed one, equivalent to the Hebrew Mashiach, Messiah, the Christ. When you say Christ, you're saying the same as saying Messiah. The anointed one is the Christ, the Messiah. And then, pros plus the accusative. Pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S. Pros plus the accusative means face to face with or before. Theos, God. And so the corrected translation. And we keep on having and holding such confidence by the agency of Christ face to face with God, before God. And we keep on having and holding such confidence by the agency of Christ, through Christ, face to face with God or before God. All right, one. Paul and his team of faithful communicators, Pastor Teacher Timothy, Pastor Teacher Titus, Silvanus, they all have maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. The only Savior. And His salvation work on the cross. Paul and his team of faithful communicators have maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of religions and there are a lot of false God, but there's only one Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. One Savior, Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ, solve mankind's problem of sin. There's a lot of religions, and you got to do this and do that and do the other thing. None of them, none of those religions, not one of them, has solved the world problem of sin. Only the Savior, Jesus Christ. Operation Grace was God the Father's plan to send His eternal Son from heaven to earth to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and solve the world problem of sin. If that doesn't take place, then you have no hope. Mankind has no hope. And with all the religions of the world, those who follow them have no hope. No hope at all. There is only one Savior who solved the world problem of sin. So Paul and his team of faithful communicators have maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior and His salvation work on the cross too. They have maximum confidence in the grace gospel, that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. There are thousands of false gospels where if you do enough works, you can go to heaven. That's not true. Those are all, every one of those are false gospels. But Paul and Titus and Timothy and Silvanus have maximum confidence in the grace gospel. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 3, they have maximum confidence that they are in union with Jesus Christ and are now royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit occurs at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. And that is the baptism that every person who believes in Christ has. And that's the only baptism that you have to have. Water baptism does not get you into heaven. If you're trusting on water baptism to get you into heaven, you're not even saved. But at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you, enters you into union with Christ. Every person who believes in Christ has been baptized by God the Holy Spirit and is in union with Christ, royal family of God. Now, if you're baptized after that, and understand the principle of it, that it's not the basis of salvation, well, fine. I've been baptized. Debbie's been baptized. Pastor Breckel at Bethany Bible Church, he performed water baptism, but he would spend several classes and teach everybody that this is not the basis of salvation. That you were baptized by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, and that this water baptism is teaching doctrines. is teaching identification with Christ in his death and burial. When you go under the water, identification with Christ in his death and burial, come up out of the water, hopefully. Identification with Christ in his resurrection. So it's teaching retroactive positional truth, current positional truth. And those things weren't taught for a while, and so there was water baptism. But Pastor Breckel made that very, very clear. Is teaching these wonderful doctrines, identification with Christ in his death and burial and his resurrection. They actually, at Dallas Seminary, we had classes that taught us how to baptize people without drowning them. And I always think of a fellow, I don't know what kind of church it was, but they were in the river. And he says, the pastor says, "Does you believe? I believe." "Does you believe? I believe." "Does you believe? I believe you're going to drown me." And if you're wondering how many baptisms I've done here, right behind this is the baptismal. I have done zero baptisms. But God the Holy Spirit has done thousands and thousands of baptisms as a result of communicating the grace gospel. That's the one that counts. So they have maximum confidence that they are in union with Christ and are now a royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. 4, they have maximum confidence that they have a personal relationship with the living and true God through faith in Jesus Christ. They have maximum confidence that they have a personal relationship with the living and true God through faith in Jesus Christ. Five. While the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven, there are 3 heavens in the scriptures, the atmospheric heavens around planet Earth, the stellar heavens, and then the third heaven, which is the throne of God. And I don't know if you've been enjoying, at least from our house, Deb and I have been enjoying every evening the stellar heavens, the second heavens. And Jupiter has been right smack dab right in front of us. Big, bright, beautiful planet, Jupiter. Now I know that all the songs are about Venus, but you gotta get up at 4 or 5 in the morning for that, and to hell with Venus. But get home and Jupiter's right there. And Jupiter's right there and Saturn's up over here in the southern portion. Well, we've been joining the second heavens. While the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven, God has his royal family as his representatives on earth. God has his royal family as his representatives on earth. You are the royal family of God. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You are royal ambassadors for Christ. 6, as the winner believer lives in the devil's world, he has maximum confidence in the grace and power of God. As the winner believer lives in the devil's world, he has maximum confidence in the grace and in the power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit. The power of the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart. He has absolute confidence in the grace and the power of God, the filling of the Spirit and the truth of the Word of God. He has absolute truth in God's provision of the full armor of God. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. This is the winner believer. As the winner believer lives in the devil's world, he has maximum confidence in the grace and power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of the truth of God's Word. He has absolute confidence in the full armor of God. Because we're living in the middle of the devil's world. Ephesians 6. We're living in the middle of the devil's world. He is the ruler of planet Earth. But the winner believer totally knows and understands that God in grace has given us the armor of God. Yes, why has He given us the armor of God? Because the devil is the ruler of planet Earth. And the winner believer knows that. He knows that Satan is the ruler of planet Earth. And he also knows that God has given fantastic provision. The armor of God. And that's Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. See, the winner believer knows that the devil's the ruler of planet Earth. He also knows that God has given him the full armor of God. So that what? So that you can take your stand against what? Against the strategies of the devil. Against the strategies of the devil. He's the ruler of planet Earth. God has given us the full armor of God, so that we can take our stand against the strategies of the devil. For our struggle, our war, is not against flesh and blood. It's not a visible war, but an invisible war. Against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of this, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. And now we have the armor, piece by piece, with the belt of truth. This is consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, getting the Word of God into your heart with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. When you get maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, what's the next part? With the breastplate of righteousness. This is grace righteousness. You attain spiritual maturity. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace or reconciliation. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, the faith rest life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. You can put out the fire. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God, the communicated Word of God. And pray by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, just as I should. So as the winner believer lives in the devil's world, he has maximum confidence in the grace and power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit and the power of absolute truth of God's Word in his heart. He has absolute confidence in the full armor of God provided for him, Ephesians 6:10-20. He has absolute confidence in God's problem-solving devices. 7. Paul had maximum confidence in the grace and power of God. Paul had maximum confidence in the grace and power of God. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me power, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy, grace in action, because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 8. Paul had confidence in those Corinthian believers with positive volition and genuine humility. The winner believers he's been addressing in verse 2 and in verse 3, now in verse 4. Paul had confidence in those Corinthian believers with positive volition and genuine humility because they were living the spiritual life. They were living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. And they were living the spiritual life by the power of the Word of God in their heart. So verses 3 and 4 now sound like this. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, absolutely not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human hearts. And we keep on having and holding such confidence by the agency of Christ before God. All right. It just keeps getting better. Verse 5, he goes on. I'll give you preview attractions of verse 5. We're not going to be able to teach it all tonight, but verse 5, corrected translation. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are, but our capability and competence comes from God, the grace and power of God. Not who and what we are, but who and what God is, the grace and power of God. He just... goes on. This I love verse 5. Oh, I'll see you next week. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.